ॐ पूर्णमदः पूर्णमिदं पूर्णात् पूर्णमुदच्यते पूर्णस्य पूर्णमादाय पूर्णमेवावशिष्यते ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः
ॐ दट् ब्रह्मन् इज़् इन्फिनिट् एण्ड् दिस् यूनिवर्स् इज़् आल्सो इन्फिनिट् द इन्फिनिट् proceeds from the infinite. Taking the infinitude of the infinite universe, it remains as the infinite Brahman alone. Om, peace, peace, peace be unto all. We have covered the first two sections of the chapter 1 of the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. We are discussing a third section and it is called Prana Upasana. Earlier, we have seen two contemplations. Upasana means the ability to identify oneself with our chosen deity. In the olden days, this Agni, Prana, Indra, Prajapati, used or Virat, they were the names that were used as Ishtadevatas, chosen deities. But now all have metaphors into three. That is to say, Vishnu, Shiva and Devi. All the various gods and goddesses that we get are manifestations of Vishnu, Shiva and Shakti. As Sri Ramakrishna said, God is one, but he takes different forms for the facility, for the progress of his children. Whichever form, whichever name, a devotee likes, that would be his Ishtadevata form. But every Ishtadevata must be contemplated as the Supreme Brahman. The considerations like, this is Saguna Brahma, and there are some people who opine that Saguna Brahma is himself bound, and sometimes they say he is the master, Mayadhishvara. What is the difference between Saguna Brahma or Ishvara or Virat and ourselves? Saguna Brahma is the Lord of the Maya and we are all under the thumb of Maya. We are bound, we are slaves, but he is the master. And they go on contradicting it, saying even though they say master of Maya, he cannot liberate one from Maya. What is mukti? Mukti is giving liberation from Maya. What is Maya? Avidya. Avidya means to forget that I am Brahman and to think I am an individual. That is called Maya. But Sri Ramakrishna had resolved all these problems. Even long before that, Bhagavan Krishna himself resolved these problems. Ye yatha mam prapadyante tan tatha eva bhajamyaham. Mama vartmani anuvartante manushyah partha sarvashah. Everyone is wending his or her way only to me alone because I am infinite. So whichever way you travel, you only encounter infinity. Sometimes the progress is slow. For a few people, they deliberately make the progress quite fast by concentrating their minds. So, here we have to understand, upasana means to become one with the chosen deity. And once we succeed in becoming identified with our chosen deity, until we identify, I am separate, my chosen deity is separate, but with a big difference in understanding. I am small, my chosen deity is big, I am of small power, he has infinite powers, I am only here, he is everywhere, I know very little, he knows everything, and I cannot help others, but he can help everybody. That concept, even the most common person has got. So, we have to become identified through any means. And in the olden days, Kings used to do this Ashwamedha Yajna. Therefore, Ashwa becomes a symbol for one sister devata, who is called Virat. Next, Agni becomes the Ishta Devata. Now, Prana has become the Virat, universal. What is universal? Gradually shedding one's identity with small individuality and expanding our identity with larger and still larger wholes until we become like Virat. Virat means universal. So, from the individual to the universal. That is the process. And as we progress, as we have seen, our ananda increases. How does it increase? Because if someone else is happy, then I am identified with that person. Not only my own individual happiness, but my neighbor's happiness, my distant known people, their happiness, distant unknown people, their happiness, the happiness of my friends, the happiness of my enemies. There is no enemy. Because when I am expanding, I am both the friend and the enemy. So like this, the person, by identifying with the universal, gradually expands his happiness also. And then finally, when he becomes one with the Ishta Devata gives him that complete knowledge. You are Brahman. Tat Tvam Asi. And by the grace of God, he realizes Aham Brahmasmi. Now, in this Prana Upasana, the Prana is praised. I have already given you the essence, but it is we have to recollect it. In our last class, I discussed a very important point. Every sadhaka who is progressing towards this greater identity, he must exhibit in his life, her life, four distinct qualities, marvelous qualities. And every upasaka has to know about them. And every upasaka has to judge whether I am manifesting these qualities, not with tremendous effort, but they must become automatic, natural. What are those? So those people who are progressing or experienced God, ultimately, they are always happy. That is the first quality. Because the very characteristic of the universal or Brahman is ananda, sat chit ananda. And they become most unselfish. That is called the quality of sat, holiness, purity. And their love is unlimited and equal to everybody. There is no distinction. This is high, this is low. I will only bestow a small portion of my love to this person, but greater to another person. Sri Ramakrishna illustrates it. A mother may be having 3, 4, 5 children and her love is 100% to every child. It doesn't get divided. Don't think she has 100% love and first child is born, it becomes hollowed into 50%. So as the children go on more and more and her love becomes divided. No. Love, knowledge, these things, they remain the same even when we distribute. You give knowledge to somebody, you don't lose anything. So you love somebody, you don't lose anything. But unfortunately, some women think, if my son gets married and if he starts loving his wife, then his love towards me will be hallowed or to that extent less. That is a misnomer. That is not correct. Love, knowledge, these things go on growing. So that is why it is, I called it digital copy. Same quality will be there. So they become unselfish. Their love is unlimited and it is equal. Samadarshi hai namatiharu chahe to parakaru. When Swami Vivekananda, during his wandering days, was staying at Khetri, Khetri Maharaja arranged for a dance program. There was a very great lady, and we have not probed into that. Somebody had taken the trouble to find out what happened to these people whom Swamiji had met. A great rishi like Swamiji can transform people's lives. So, Khetri Maharaja arranged for a dance singing program, and there was a lady highly devoted to God, very sincere. And when the king informed Swamiji, invited him to come down from his room and enjoy, he has not yet learned the lesson. A true sannyasi is one who is not conscious. I am male, somebody else is female, and I am a sannyasi. This person is belonging to a low caste, etc., etc. Swamiji had experienced these things very well. Then this lady, probably God inspired her. She started singing, I think, Surdas bhajans, beautiful bhajan. Prabhu mere avaguna chitanadharo, samadarashi hai namatiharo, chahe to parakaro. O Lord, look not upon my evil qualities, because it is you who is playing. Ishvarah sarvabhutanam hriddeshe arjuna tishtati, brahmayan sarvabhutani. Yantra Rodhani Mayaya. She was a lady of great knowledge. What does it matter where she was born? Like Subbalakshmi, who was such a great soul, even though born to that low caste. So, this heartfelt singing with complete devotion to God, Swamiji heard it from his room, came down practically running, sat down, and then she was the instrumental in removing that barrier that there is a true monk has no distinction of sex. Young woman, old woman, I am a monk. Only a person who thinks I am a male human being will be aware of a female. But Swamiji had far gone. But he had to learn his lessons. So he learned the lesson. Wholeheartedly blessed her. This is the story we get. But what happened to her in the end? And then somebody had taken the trouble and a great transformation had come over her. And the ultimate result was she truly became a saintly soul by coming into touch with Swami Vivekananda. Like that, how many women had been transformed? One man has taken the trouble. And then he has written a book, Woman, I think, I do not remember exactly the title, A Woman Who Met Swami Vivekananda. And then he got further details, not too many details. India is not great in understanding the biographies. We do not even know the full biographies of whom Sri Ramakrishna used to praise, like Nitya Gopal, etc., or Bhavanath, whom the master loved so much. What happened to them in the end? Only Swami Chaitanyanandaji collected their biographies. A few details we know, and through that we come to know that Ramakrishna's influence did not go in waste. Even though for some time they stopped coming, our frequency was very less, but this undeniable influence upon their lives has been abundantly proved by the transformations they had in their own life. So, these great people, their love is unlimited, but they are ready to sacrifice anything for the sake of anybody. And in my last class, I mentioned the Puranic story, how Indra wanted to defeat the demons, and he approached a great rishi called Dadichi even while he was alive. He could have perhaps lived for quite some time. But out of the dire necessity, Indra shamelessly asked, you die so that I can take your backbone and shape a weapon out of it. And only through that, because of that, your power is going to circulate through that weapon, I can defeat the demons. And that is what exactly he did. So they are ready to die. And is it a sacrifice for them? We say Dadichi sacrificed so much. Really speaking, Dadichi did not sacrifice anything. If anybody sacrifices, let us say, 1 cent in the hope of getting $1 trillion, can we call it sacrifice? And a person who understands, even if I give up my whole possessions, my body, my mind, my life, my everything, but what I am going to get is infinity. I only sacrifice what is finiteness. But as a result, I get infinity. Then that gives the answer. So these people, they, even though from our viewpoint, we say they are ready to sacrifice. There is nothing to sacrifice. When your left hand is itching and your right hand, you lift and scratch your left hand and it's getting relief, is your left hand supposed to turn with tears in its eyes? Oh, how great you are, how kind you are. Because the whole body identifies with every part of the body, and therefore any distress, uneasiness in any part of the body will be felt by the whole body. And if one part of the body is very happy, the other part of the body also, every limb also feels happy about it. Don't apply it what is called in a hard way. So if you are back on a very cold night towards the blazing fire and your front portion, you are shivering, that is not the point. The point is your whole body is feeling the warmth in the back. That is the point. So God wanted to create, so he created his children, and there were a few good people, unselfish people, and rest of them were plenty, and they were very selfish people, and there was ever raging war going on between these selfish and unselfish people. That is what is going on even today. This is called Daivasura Yuddha, the war between the divine and the demonic. And that is going on even today. Every event that happens proves who is demonic and who is Daivik. This is beautifully discussed in the 16th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita called Daivasura Sampat Vibhaga Yoga Nama Shodashodhyayaha. So, we have been discussed. There is a story with regard to this. So, this third section, which we are discussing now, has got 28 mantras. There are some beautiful mantras are there, but the essence is that one should find out, do I belong to the demonic group or to the divine group? And if by chance, if I am born to the demonic group, I should try to become the, join the godly group. And what is the thing? So every selfish person should try to reduce. Sadhana is nothing but reducing selfishness. So then there is a story goes that the being very few people, and that is what Bhagavad Gita also beautifully enumerates this fact. Manushyanam sahasreshu kaschid yatati siddhaye yatatam api siddhanam kaschin mam veti tatvatah. So among billions of people, there will be only one or two people who really want to progress towards God. And even if these people are thousands, then only one or two persons really reach the goal. It doesn't mean that the rest of the people will be left behind, never ever going to reach God. No. It means there will be always some people who have started perhaps long back and steadily making progress towards God. And we see in our life a few of such people becoming one with God and knowing fully well Aham Brahmasmi, or what Sri Ramakrishna used to call that, to realize God, Ishvara Darshana, whatever way we understand it. So then a small story goes that all this prana has transformed itself into our sense organs, 5 sense organs and the mind. So then these sense organs, they are also called devas. Deva means the word, dev means light. that because the eye lights up all the forms, the ear lights up all the sounds, the nostril lights up all the smells, the tongue lights up all the tastes, and the tvak, or the sense organ of touch, it highlights, it reveals all the different soft, then hard, then hot, then cold, to various degrees. We are all experiencing now in India, it was quite cold. Slowly the cold has come down. Now it played for some time. So daytime, a bit hot, warm, but night time, quite enjoyable. But now the nights are also slowly becoming a little bit more warm. And after a few days, then it becomes quite uncomfortable if we are not accustomed to it. There are people who do not have any facilities like fans or mosquito repellent. They're sleeping, snoring outside all day. They do back-breaking work. Now the point is that let us defeat these demons. That means let us defeat the selfishness. So they said there are certain parts like bhajans, singing called Udgita. Udgita is some of the mantras from the Samaveda. It is called Udgita. And Samaveda, as we know, is that part of the Veda which is meant for singing loudly. Ut means loudly, in a higher scale with strength. Gita means to sing. So some of the parts of the Sama, they are called Sama mantras, Sama gayas, ganas, and they have to be sung with a beautiful voice, the intonation, the strength, the purity, etc., etc. It should not be like an London Englishman trying to understand the Welsh English language or Scottish English language. So, it takes time. Every region has got its own peculiarity. For them it is not a problem, but for outsiders it is a problem. But many rules and regulations have been strictly imposed. How to sing? So there is Udatta, Anudatta, Swarita, and double Udatta, etc., etc. There are rules and regulations are there. So let us sing. So they asked every sense organ, you sing for us. Then what happened? Being selfish, even the gods, we are talking about gods. And these sense organs are called gods because they light up. That means they give us knowledge. Like the eye gives us knowledge of the forms. And the ear gives knowledge of the sounds. Whether it is forms, whether it is sounds, whether it is colors, whether it is flavors, the income is knowledge. The mind understands only this is beautiful, fragrant, beautiful, blue, lily, etc., etc. So then, these organs are also called gods. The sense organs, including the mind. Mind also is called God. So, it started singing this Udgita Sama. Then, 50% of the result it gave to others. That means it became unselfish. But the finer parts of enjoyment, it kept for itself. So therefore, the demons could easily defeat because whoever is selfish, that person will be defeated sooner or later. There is no doubt about it. As if we study history with this idea in mind, we can understand it very much better. So, every sense organ was given the opportunity and every sense organ proved to be selfish. That means it did not give 100%. It kept some portion for itself, for its own private pleasure. That is how this beautiful third section is describing. It is not what they did, but it is to highlight that we all should try to conquer selfishness and become unselfish. What is unselfish? To become the infinite. To identify ourselves with the other. Just as a mother becomes unselfish automatically because she identifies herself this child is also me, the baby is also me, the grown-up son is also me, every one of them is none other than me. This is only just an example. But as soon as this mother becomes extraordinarily selfish when she encounters the neighboring children, no, you are not my children, so she doesn't want to share any good thing with the others along with her own children. So that is why selfishness, that selfish love is only selfish love. It is not a true love. Whereas a true spiritual sadhaka, he doesn't expect anything. The only expectation is, I want to please God. And God is manifesting as Mata, as Pita, as Acharya, as Atidhi, etc. So this section is called Udgita Brahmana. So you can understand that all the five sense organs became defeated. And there is also a story which I briefly mentioned, that puffed up with arrogance and egotism, every sense organ thought, without me, is not possible for the body to live. There, but when it, in a huff, left the body and came back, it was shocked to find the body is still functioning. Maybe it is a bit inconvenienced, but the happiness, the joy, everything is the same. Then it asked, then they replied that, well, yes, little bit of inconvenience because we can't see, but life went on. So all the five sense organs, they did the same thing in their turn, and they were proved that life can go on without them. Here life means prana. Now this prana was asked, and prana did not become puffed up with arrogance. It knows, without me, nothing can be sustained. If prana departs, I cannot see, ear cannot hear, etc., life will not be there. It knows. And it's a marvelous Vedantic explanation. It is the prana which is supplied continuously by the Vayudevata. And this prana, what does it do? It divides itself into five parts, fulfilling five different functions within the body. Some for digestion, some for circulation, some for throwing out the waste, etc. And all unselfishly, because it doesn't have any selfishness. Because Mukhya Prana, when it was asked to sing, then the demons tried to tumble it down, to defeat it. But they could not defeat, as if the Upanishad gives a beautiful analogy, a huge rock is thrown at a hill, very strong hill, and the rock itself became pieces and fell down. It could not even scratch the hill, the mountain. Like that, the demons could not defeat. That means selfishness cannot defeat unselfishness. So the Mukhya Prana, it did not keep anything for itself. It only slaved for keeping the life so that it can sustain all the five sense organs, keep the whole body, mind functioning, make all the three experiences of waking, dream and dreamless completely easy and without any interruption. So that is why Mukhya Prana is Virat. Virat means it, like the loving mother, and not to the ordinary loving mother. Yadevi sarvabhuteshu matru rupena samsthita namastasyai 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 namo nama, that universal mother. So this prana doesn't say, here is a person and I will favor him more, I will sustain him, and the other person, I don't like him, I will not give him. No, instinctively Vayudevata gives the same prana shakti. If somebody, because of some evil action, had become asthmatic and cannot receive what the Vayudevata wants to give freely, then it is its fault. Have you ever come across anybody saying, oh Vayudevata, you are so stingy, I want to breathe more of oxygen, but you are not giving? Vayudevata says, like an ocean, breathe as much as you want, but
But even in breathing also, so many people are so miserly, they just want, like that only they want to breathe. Why can't you breathe? It is free and it is good, it is healthy. So take a long breath and leave it slowly, make it slowly. That is why they say, I think it is true, I cannot vouch for it, that elephants, they breathe very slowly. And that is why with their huge, weighty, bulky bodies, they live for a long time, many years, and their memories are super sharp, much better than many human beings. And they never forget a person who had done some good to them. And there is a beautiful book, if you want to enjoy, is that book's name and title only I remember, The Elephant Whisperer. There are also other books like The Horse Whisperer, maybe like The Lion Whisperer, Tiger Whisperer. We hear the stories, we get also. They brought up the babies, and even after several years of separation, these animals, they can instinctively smell and say, my mother has come, my guardian who has brought me up, and they protect many times. This is the real stories are there. So, what we have to understand is that Vayu Devata, Agni Devata, Bhu Devata, Jala Devata, Akasha Devata, they are all Devatas. How did they become Devatas? Because of their unselfishness. So that is going to come here. When through sadhana, a person's eye becomes unselfish, then his eye becomes the sun, a god. When his ears become unselfish, the ears become the Digdevata, the directions, Akasha Devata. Similarly, every sense organ becomes expanded. Selfishness is contraction. Unselfishness is expansion. That is why Swamiji defined life is expansion and contraction is called death. However much money, power, everything the person has got. But then the Divine Mother is a mother. So there are no such person. This is a wicked person. He is not my child. He is also my child only. But he has to go through elementary school to understand the fundamentals of life. And that is what is called suffering. And that's why Holy Mother says, some misery is a gift of God. So this third section is called Udgita Brahmana. And mainly it is the glories of the Prana Devata. Like prana, and it is called mukhya prana. Mukhya prana subdividing itself into five functions, again called prana, apana, yana, udana, and samana. Without this prana devata sustaining us, helping us, not only in producing food, but not only in cooking food, but in digesting food, not only in digesting food, distributing the food, which is another name for prana or energy, and distributing that energy. If the hands require more energy, it is supplied more energy. Just imagine, you must have a little bit of expansion in your studies. How many kingdoms, like Roman kingdom, made humans as terrible slaves, treated them worse than animals? Nobody is an exception. In India, the lower classes, we are treating them for centuries together as our bond slaves. Swami Vivekananda was the first person to notice it and point it out and said women and the masses are being systematically mistreated, maltreated until they come up. The country will not rise. And that truth will apply to Afghanistan, to any stan which tries to suppress women, all in the name of morality. How can immorality be there? If all men are moral, then how would the women become immoral? If the women are educated, given culture, and given an opportunity, then if the masses are also given the same opportunity, equal opportunity, and even helped much more. That is what Swami Vivekananda has said. If a Brahmin's son requires one teacher, the son of a paraya requires four teachers, because he never had that background. That is what turned into this terrible evil system called reservation. Whether the people deserve it or not, certain number of seats are given. And probably there was a need for it at one time. But now I don't think there is any need for that. So rather they should be trained in studying hard, in becoming more practical. That's why Swami Vivekananda called practical Vedanta. Is not only Vedanta in practice. Everything that we do must become practical Vedanta. That is why he said a fisherman will become a better fisherman. A housewife will become a better housewife. A student becomes a better student. A cook can become a better cook. The quality of life can be improved enormously. And in the name of religion, in the name of certain old dead habits, some of the religions are trying to suppress, oppress people, but their time also will come when they will be overthrown. There is no doubt about it. But what I want to say, that this third section wants to highlight the fight between selfishness and unselfishness. The person who is trying or has become somewhat unselfish is called God, and the person who has not yet thrown out, and he will eventually become, he is called a demon, Daiva, Deva, and Asura. This is the most marvelous thing. Even the very definition of Asura, Asushu Ramate Iti Asuraha. Asu means prana. Prana means sense organ. And a person who revels in the sense organs, that is what the whole story of this third section is about. That the eye wants to enjoy to the exclusion of other sense organs. No, there must be a harmonious whole, holistic awareness should be there. The whole body should be equally treated. So that is what here we are getting in this beautiful story. So it is this is what defines life. Life is a continuous struggle between selfishness and unselfishness. Evolution is nothing but gradually reducing the selfishness and increasing the unselfishness. And when we succeed to become purely unselfish, that is called becoming God. That is called manifesting one's own divinity. That is called sainthood, but by whatever name you want to do it. So this warfare is continuing even to this day. Sometimes divinity reigns supreme in the individual and the society, and at other times the demonical nature dominates. So sacrifice and Udgita chanting here stand for the holy and sattvika qualities and the actions of the senses. Sacrifice called yajna here means the destruction of the lower nature and sanctification of the human personality. Of course, Udgita means meditation on holy qualities. So the gods thought of purifying themselves. I told you that beautiful story. So ultimately, prana, it made all the sense organs, gods here called God, the sins, that means the selfishness, and deposited them at the end of what is called, made them supreme. That is the struggle. That is how the divinity has to be brought up. And this is also called in puja, burning of the Papa Purusha. You must have read in Sri Ramakrishna's life. He thought these are all just some theories that are floating around. But with complete faith in the puja, when he uttered that word, that my Papa Purusha is being burnt, he actually experienced in his life, and a terrible burning sensation came into his life. And we have to believe, because Sri Ramakrishna had come to prove every single letter that is in the Vedas is absolute truth. So for transcending this evil, evil means selfishness, one must disidentify oneself from the selfish sense organs. When I say, it should be for the good of everybody. When I hear, it should be for the good of everybody. So, come. Here is a nice dish, sweet dish. A mother joyfully calls all her children because she found, like this Mukhya Prana, that I can enjoy more through the mouths of my children than trying to eat selfishly all by myself. So, in the beginning, all the sense organs were very pure by nature because they are manifestations of Brahman, but all the senses were restored to their original nature by the action of the prana. So then, as I already mentioned, when speech was freed from death, death means selfishness. That means it has become unselfish. Then it became the fire. Speech has become Agni Devata. Similarly, the nostrils became the Vayu Devata. Similarly, the sense organ called eye, freed of selfishness, became the sun. The ears became the quarters. And the mind became the moon. And they were freed from selfish individuality and became universal. So the prana, who is again known as Ayasya Angirasa, these are minor details for us. Essence of all limbs, securely edibles for itself by chanting and transformed them to different organs of the body. Prana is manifesting as all the five sense organs. Therefore, like a mother, prana equally supports, equally strengthens all the five sense organs. So the children must learn from the mother. Not only my mother is Matru Rupini, we also have to manifest the same quality. And as a result, prana became Brihaspati, all wise. It became Brihati, the infinite. Prana is all pervading and it acquires the shape and size of the body that it inherits. So, this third section ends by singing the praises of prana. Now, Shankaracharya, in his Bhashyams, wants to enlighten us further. As I mentioned, if you have heard this essence of what we discussed, you don't need Shankaracharya's Bhashya. But if you want to expand your intellect and enjoy making the intellect much more sharp, and God has endowed us with free intellect, and we are already wasting our time in so many ways, why not also we increase our intellectual capacity? And I can assure you, the more any one of us develops intellectual capacity, the more will be the joy. And already several times I have mentioned, what did I mention? That it is far, far, far superior, like Manushya Gandharvanam Teye Satam Manushya Anandaha Manushya Gandharvanam Satam Anandaha. So, billion times more than Manushya's Ananda. Similarly, billion times more than Vishayananda will be Medhananda. That is what we have to understand. So here, there are certain schools of philosophy which say Veda only teaches one thing. What is it? Ritual, action. And whatever other sentences with other words we find in the Vedas should not be considered as true Veda. True Veda means only that which prescribe rituals, action. Now Shankaracharya wants to expose the stupidity of these views, the narrowness of their intellect, and then what is called eat their own words and accept falling down all the counter arguments given by this great Shankaracharya. This is called Veda Pramanya. What is the essence we are going to discuss in tomorrow's class? That every single statement in the Veda, whether it indicates action, it doesn't indicate action, they're all pramanas. I'll just give you a simple sample in today's talk. Supposing the Veda says, Tattvamasi, thou art that. what action is it prescribing? These are called, what is called Jnana Bodhaka Vakyas, sentences which reveal a fact. There is a city or there is a beautiful construction called Taj Mahal. It is a statement of fact. What purpose does it serve? Definitely it serves a purpose. It is a most wonderful construction. At least once in a lifetime, I must go and behold the greatness. Don't go into delve into history. But it is a marvelous construction. Swami Vivekananda said, it will take whole life even to study one corner of this Taj Mahal. If such a great soul can appreciate, don't take it from the historical point of view. Somebody did something and so many people had died. It is all the money that has been robbed of the people. They may be historically true. That is not the point. But this man had created such a marvelous construction which shines today among the best of the constructions. So we have to appreciate that because God is manifesting. Yad yad vibhuti matsatvam srimadurjitam evava tatta deva avagachatvam mama tejo amsha sambhavam. You see mighty Himalayas and you see the grandest canyon cascading billions of tons of water. Such huge rivers are there. So wherever you see incomparable greatness, vastness, beauty, then delight. This is a manifestation of Bhagavan himself. And admire it without any partiality. So whichever country it belongs to, whichever people it belongs, wherever it is, that is called true sadhana, true worship of God. And every important concept in the Veda is pramana. So how is it a pramana? Very, very beautiful explanation comes, and that we will discuss in tomorrow's class. Om Jananim Sharadam Devim Ramakrishnam Jagadgurum Padapadme Tayo Sritva Pranamami Muhurmuhu. May Ramakrishna, Holy Mother and Swami Vivekananda bless us all with Bhakti. Ramakrishna.